Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to tell you guys I'm recording the call. If it wasn't for Josie, I don't know what I would do. So thanks, Josie. I'm recording the call. That's for when you guys, for some, many people download the call and listen to it in their car if they're not available for today. So the book is called Uncensored Sales Strategies, Triple X-Rated Secrets. And I thought it was interesting because Sydney Biddle Barrows, the Mayflower Madam, wrote this book many years ago, and it was on the New York Times bestseller list as one of the best top 10 best business books in selling. She wrote it with Dan Kennedy, who probably many of you have heard of, and he's an expert in sales, teaching sales techniques as well. So I thought this would be a fun topic as we get ready in the next, I think, 10 days or less to go to ICSE. And let's jump in. So just in the beginning at the introduction, Sydney says, in my high-end SEO business, we weren't selling sex, we were selling a fantasy. And he talks, and this is Dan Kennedy's introduction, and he talks about how as adults, we're basically programmed over time to be disbelievers. And I'm sure you all have felt that when you're sitting across the table from a prospect and their arms are folded across their chest and they're basically pleading with you or begging with you to convince me because we're programmed to not believe, especially in sale, against a salesperson. And when our job is to sell products or prospects into believers, we have to utilize different techniques to do that, which we've been talking about over the last many months, different sales books that we've brought to the table. But it says, when we're young, we naturally have vivid fantasies all the time, flying to the moon, riding on a unicorn, being a king, queen, cowboy, slaying a dragon, or rescuing the princess. Then when we go to school, we are taught to stick to the facts, use reason, and be practical, that our working years are much of the same. We hear, don't go dreaming, just focus on the real world, focus on the end game. And, they say no wonder most of us have pretty much discarded fantasy altogether. They say that conscious or not, fantasies are the underlying fuel of life, even for the disbelievers. And they said fantasies gets us excited, inspired, and motivated, and they make us whip out our wallets faster than anything else. We all buy fantasies every day, whether it's the guy buying the Maserati or the woman in the dentist chair receiving cosmetic work because she has the fantasy of wanting to look like a movie star. So, which I think is true. I think that when we're dealing with prospects and leasing our space, many of those prospects, especially small mom and pops, not really the regional real estate, chains, but the mom and pops, their fantasy is growing a business. We help them create their American dream. Many of us, work with startups, and their goal, obviously, is to, have a franchise. This is their pilot operation, and they're going to grow, bigger than Blockbuster or, bad example there, but grow like Subway. So I think that our job, and they say sales is, well, it's a bit of a seduction. And then Alexandra Brown, who wrote the introduction, says that it's arousing, isn't it? So why don't you let yourself get excited about selling again? And it's amazing on these calls. When I first started these calls, I thought that the calls would be filled with junior leasing agents, newbies in the business, 1 to 3 years. And it amazes me every month when I look at the pre-registration list and I see that it's people in the business 7, 10, 12, 15 years, which and not that many rookies or newbies. And I always tease my rookies and I say, why weren't you on my call? And I see later that they download the tape. But, they're busy out showing space, and I think some of us that are more experienced, if we think we can learn a thing or two after doing this for 20 years, and it's not always something that it's a new concept, it's just something that maybe we forgot about. And in the beginning, when we were all starting out selling, you know, we probably did have more excitement because everything was new and we were learning. I have Carly here. She's an intern with me this summer. And it seems like every concept I teach for her, her eyes light up and she's so excited to learn. And, you know, it's hard after doing it 10, 15, you know, I've been doing this 25 years to get excited about selling again. So that's why I'm always doing crazy things. I was, you know, in the Sun Sentinel today with, you know, a pink boa and a wig on my head from the bus tour. But people, you know, people think I'm crazy, but I have fun doing it. I want to have fun, and I think that makes selling exciting. So back to the book. They also talk about you learn little from the familiar, and I'm a big believer in that too. You know, we all go to the ICSEs, obviously, but I think that we can attend different conferences and learn things as well. And whether we stay in our industry, for example, every other year when the ICSE Law Conference is local, I try to attend that because I learn a lot sitting with all these very smart lawyers, and they're talking about how they negotiate big anchor deals or, you know, what's the latest trend in negotiations. And I'm not a lawyer, so I'm learning from something that's unfamiliar to me, even though I do negotiations, but with sitting in a room with all lawyers, you learn a lot. I go to the franchise show in Miami Beach because I like to I go booth to booth to different franchises, and I see what new franchises are coming. But also, I think I shared with some of you on a previous call, last September, Josie and I went out to California, and we went to a presentation seminar, and I learned a lot there, too. So and I know one of the participants on the call today in Orlando 2 months ago went to a retail show, and it was more of people in the operations end of the business, but she has said that she learned a lot, and so I think that it's important that we expose ourselves to different industry conferences that maybe are teach sales with different things so that we can pick up new ideas to help get us excited about selling again. One of my former partners used to get the magazine Wired monthly, and it was about tech. But he always found great marketing ideas in that magazine, and it had nothing to do with commercial real estate. So keep that in mind and maybe think about reading something or attending something that's not in our business where we could get some ideas. In Chapter 1, they talk about Business Basics 101, and, you know, where we have spoken a lot about is we have to, you know, the number one thing is to find out what they want, not what we think they should have. Someone sent me a marketing piece today, and the headline in the subject, and it's someone that we work together on a bunch of different things. And the headline was, "This is what you should have in your portfolio." And I called them up and I said, you know, all that does is, you know, when you're telling me what I should have, that doesn't motivate me. You know, I want you to ask me. And I think that I'm doing a workshop presentation at ICSE. I hope you guys all come. It's at 2:15 on Monday, and it's called For the Love of Leasing, and it compares dating with leasing. And one of the slides I have is a picture of Curious George. And I talk about, you know, we need to be Curious George, or we need to be Columbo. Some of you on the call are too young to know who Columbo is, and unfortunately he just died. But he was a very he was always asking questions. He was always being vulnerable. People never took him, you know, they always underestimated him. And the more we ask our prospects about what their needs are and what they're looking for, the easier we can close. In the last month, I've had two or three people call me and say, we're having a problem closing deals. And on all three of them, I've said to each of them, they're three direct leasing directors, I said, I don't think you guys have a problem closing deals. I think you have a problem opening deals. I think that the start is where we're challenged. You know, go back and look at each deal that you think your agent didn't close and find out what happened at the start. You know, did they send the LOI before they got the financial information? Did they push the deal before it was ready? You know, was the water boiling? You know, before, you know, was the water not boiling and they took the pot off the stove? And I think that happens so much in our business. It's really not about closing at all, and it goes back to finding out what the prospect needs are. You know, when you're out looking for space, what are you looking for? Is traffic as important? Is rent important? Is visibility important? And I know they all say that it's all important, but you can ask the right questions to really narrow it in. And we've talked about that on many, many different calls this summer. And what else is critical, which they say on page 6, is learning what doesn't work. That's almost more important than learning what does. And this works in both situations. Ask the prospect, you know, if he has 3 or 4 locations, what in your 4 other locations is the least productive thing about your space? Alternatively, with your own sales skills, you know, when something goes wrong or where you feel in your gut, I shouldn't have said that, make sure you write that down so you don't do it again. You know, learn what doesn't work and then use it in the future and share that. They talk about recognizing the niche and riches and niches, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But they talked about that people in her business, her escort business, paid for a unique experience. You know, what are they looking for? Are they looking for that, you know, does the person who's hiring her escort service, does he want the sex or does he want the experience? Does he want the beautiful woman standing at the door acting like she wants him? And that's what she talks about, that, you know, we need to create a unique experience for the customer, which your target market really wants, and ideally what he's willing to pay a premium price for. She says, the fewer people are who provide a similar experience, the more you're able to charge. You know, which I say all the time when I say to leasing agents, you know, it's great that we go to ICSEs. I'm a big proponent of ICSEs. Obviously, you guys see me there all the time. Where you don't see me, because I don't see you, are at the Chamber of Commerce meetings. And I try to attend the Davie Chamber of Commerce meeting, the Sunrise Chamber, you know, whatever, wherever I have a property, I want to go to those Chamber of Commerce meetings. And guess what? I don't see any of my competition there. And the room is filled with users. Maybe they're warehouse users, maybe they're office users, maybe they're retail users, but they're business owners, most of them entrepreneurs, and they are there. And and I've gotten a ton of leads from those meetings, and those are the places where you can set yourself apart, where you don't have 50 of your closest friends in the business attending. So go to places, think about where people are, you know, where your target market is, and create an experience where the target market is willing to pay more, because they're, you know, you're creating something unique. She talks about on page 15 about giving gifts. She says, gifts with purchase is a strategy that can be used in nearly every business. You might have to get unusually creative, but the opportunity is there. And I thought that was a really interesting idea. I'm not sure in leasing how that would play out. I'd love for you guys to send some emails if you've done anything like that. You know, when I do speeches, some of you that have been in the rooms, I give away these big calculators, you know, like they're obnoxiously big. They cover like half of your desk, and I call it my big deal calculator. And, you know, I'll probably be giving a few of those out at the ICSEs. But, you know, gifts with a purpose and for people to remind you. And, you know, I remember one of my students came in and said that her boss walked in and said, wow, that's a, you know, look at that calculator. And she said, yeah, Beth gave it to me. It's for all my future big deals. So, you know, I think gifts, they say gifts should be fun and create an experience. You know, and they don't have to be that expensive. They talk about, obviously, finding out what their problem is and creating a solution. You know, I sometimes, again, I tease my students where I say, don't show up and throw up. You know, don't walk into a space and say, here are the 15 things that are great about my space, because he doesn't probably care about 14 of them. He has a problem and he needs to solve it. And do you have the answer and do you have the solution? And focus on that one or two things. And don't bring up the other 10 things that you think are benefits and he could care less about. They talk about how important it is for everyone in the firm, from the first person that the customer comes in contact with to the last, whether it's the person answering the phone, whether it's the maintenance guy, whether it's the property manager, whether it's the lawyer negotiating the lease. Everyone needs to be on the same page, and there shouldn't be an inconsistent culture with that. And I know some firms that do this really well, and I know some firms are spotty on this. But whether, again, from the first phone call, you know, everyone needs to be on the same page. She talks in the fourth chapter about testimonials. And I'm a big, you know, many of you on the call, I've bugged for testimonials. If you have a prospect that you do a lease with and they, you know, thought it was a great experience, or if you're in another business, I know I've got some people on the call that are in different businesses. If someone says, you know, you were so great, you were so helpful, you know, say, can you put that in writing? Can we put that on our company website? Get a testimonial, because if someone else says it about you, you know, that holds way, you know, that transforms or converts the non-believers or the disbelievers. Because if you say it, it's not true. But if someone else says it about you, especially if it's people that people recognize in the business, you know, it's extremely influential. So please use testimonials if it's appropriate in your business. You know, she says that Sydney's triple X-rated sales secret number 7, you need more than good foreplay to consummate a deal. But that goes back to starting right. You got to start right. If you start right, you'll finish easy. It also talks about, you know, you've got to make it work for them. You know, you can't bring up excuses. It's not just what you say, it's the words you use to say it. And making it easy, making it easy for them to understand. You know, we talked about this. Another one of the books talked about how people, you know, using vocabulary that prospects, you know, don't be worried. You know, I had someone say, you know, my vocabulary is not the best. I said, you know what? Just make it plain. You know, keep it simple. Just keep it simple. Use the vocabulary. I mean, early on in my career, I was surrounded by very intelligent people, and I would always try to use words, and I would always jumble them. And I had a partner who wrote funny things that I used to say and keep them in his desk and pull them out. You know, it's funny, and you got to laugh at yourself. But I used to confuse the wrong words all the time. I'm sure you guys know people that do this. So don't be worried about that. Just, you know, just be yourself and use words that you understand and your prospect understands, and because, you know, you don't want to intimidate them, and you want to make the sale and make it easy for them to understand. One sentence I heard, or statement I heard, I don't think it was in this book. I think it was it might have been in this book. A confused mind always says no. A confused mind always says no. I thought that was brilliant. You know, that it's kind of like in residential sales. Any of you that, you know, have your licenses that started out in residential like I did, you know, they always used to say, never show, you know, the couple more than 3 homes. You know, I know agents that show 10 spaces in a shopping center. There's no need to show 10 spaces in a shopping center if you do your question. If you're Curious George, you know, if you're Curious George and you ask the 20 questions, you'll know in your property that there isn't a space that's good for them, or if there's 1 or 2 spaces that are good for them. There's no need to be showing them, you know, your 10 vacancies in the center. Not to mention that if they think you have 10 vacancies in the center, your negotiating stance is going to be weaker just for the fact that you showed them all of that vacancy. She talks about her triple X-rated sales secret number 8. Just because a prospect fits into your ideal parameters, they're not an ideal client if they're difficult or unpleasant to do business with. You know, we don't have to do business with everyone. And I've had experiences just recently, a couple weeks ago, had a prospect in here with a consultant, not a broker, but a consultant, and he just was so rude and so unpleasant. And I finally, with humor, stopped him in the middle of, you know, as he's, you know, berating me, and I said, you know, boy, I said, you're just a ball of laugh to deal with, and the prospect turned to me and said, can you imagine dealing with them every day? But it cut the pressure of that instance, and he backed off, and he was nicer from then on, but he felt like, you know, he had to push and be, you know, the big guy and the tough guy, and he was going to show me that he was going to be, you know, the big negotiator. And luckily with humor I was able to diffuse it because it was getting ridiculous. I really didn't want to even pursue this prospect or this tenant to come into my shopping center because of his consultant who was being rude. They talk, she talks about in here on page 35, the riches in niches. And I really like this because I think that we all do a lot of different things, but I think it's, you know, I think that the brokers that focus on whether it's grocery anchored centers or they tenant rep, you know, freestanding restaurant pads, or they're the drugstore developers, or they are great at mixed-use specialty centers. I think if you, as you're growing your career, for those of you that are on the phone that are younger, but even those of us that are, have been in the business a long time, I had a client call me the other day, and she's a grocery anchored leasing agent. She's very successful in what she does, but she has started working with someone who wants to buy shopping centers, and she's learning how to do that. And you know, I'm okay. And I said to her, look, if you want to go learn something new and you've been in the business 10 years, I get that. I certainly have changed my career over 25 years, you know, many times. But focus on what you do well the majority of the time. If you're doing this 40 hours a week and you're the best grocery anchored leasing agent, then take, you know, 3 hours a week to do something different. But don't upend what you're doing great. You know, your riches are in your niches. And if that's your niche, then continue to focus on that, and it's okay to learn new things, but start off slowly and don't just upend everything you're doing. Because and I think that I also was speaking to someone recently who said, you know, I do some landlord leasing, I do some tenant rep leasing, I'm looking for a property to buy for another guy, and I said, well, what do you do? You know, what is, you know, what's your favorite thing to do? What do you do best? I think we all need to pick at what we do best, because that's how we become experts in it. And then once you become an expert in that, then take some time and start looking for or exploring other options to grow your mental capacity, you know, your interest. But you got to become expert in something, because if you're not, I don't think you'll ever achieve the financial success you could if you didn't stay focused on one thing. And again, in all these things, I know no one likes to discuss this when I'm talking on the phone. It's very funny how what I thought this would be back in February or January when we started, and what it's turned out to be, that, you know, I'm like the Cliff Note person. But I love for you guys afterwards, if you want, to send me emails and have a discussion. If you disagree with me or if you have any questions, you know, email me. And, you know, everyone keeps saying I need to have a blog, and, you know, I'm just not ready to do that yet. But email me and tell me I disagree or I agree or what do you think about this, and I'm happy to comment. So we're going to take a moment for me to tell you what the next book is, which the call is going to be on September 22nd, and it's called Now Discover Your Strengths. The it will be put on the website. The author is Marcus Buckingham and Donald Clifton. Where I really want to go with this is a follow-up book called Strengths-Based Selling. But you need, and I bought Strengths-Based Selling first and then found out I needed the first one, because the first one, you go online and take this test, and it gives you what your strengths are in selling. And it's very interesting. I liked it a lot. And I'll be giving away 3 copies, as always, to the 3rd, 17th and 35th person. So if you email me now, Josie, did you get that 3rd, 17th and 35th? And I will send those books out. And so if you want to learn what your strengths are, you go on, you take like a 15-minute test online, and you get a code in the back of the book, Now Discover Your Strengths, for you to find out what your strengths are. But I thought it was great, and that will be our next book as we're winding out the year. Can't believe it's going to be September already. And I also am looking for a really good book on negotiating tips and tools. I've had a lot of you email me that you want us to talk about a book on specific negotiating strategies. So I've read a few over the summer, none that I'm thrilled with. So if any of you know of one, please send me an email, and we'll probably do that in October. And then November we're going to be doing something on goals again, because everyone knows my love of setting goals. Okay, back to the book. We she talks about all of the emotional connections. And I think that we have done that a lot, and just the recognition, appreciation, you know, the responsiveness, which I think we've covered a lot in other books, but, you know, it's always good to reiterate. She says this: the one of her sales secrets is regular and frequent contact is the key. You don't want to be perceived as the occasional one-night stand. And this is crucial because, for example, I finished a deal with a client, a tenant rep client, which you guys know I don't really do tenant reps, but this is kind of a friend of mine, and he has a bunch of locations, and I helped him do a renewal, actually. We were looking for another location. We ended up renewing where we were at, and I acted as a consultant. I didn't get any commission from the landlord because that, you know, I didn't think that was right because it was just a renewal. However, I was talking to this guy five times a week for probably 2 months. And I haven't been back in to see him. I've sent him a few emails, and he wants to open another location down in Miami, which we're going to start working on. But I've been negligent in going in to see him, and it's on my things to do list today or tomorrow to go in and say hi to him and just catch up. He's renovated his store now that he's renewed it, and so it's very important for us to keep in touch. You know, not just for the fact that it's repeat business. But, it, you know, it's the right thing to do. They know people. They refer people. So it's important, and especially, and this goes along, and you, those of you that are my canvassing students on the phone, everyone knows my rule of five. You know, when people say to me, oh, I've been canvassing, it doesn't work, and I usually, you know, I'm Curious George, so I start asking questions. And the people that say canvassing doesn't work are usually the people that have gone out once, you know, didn't get a deal signed that day, and then never went out again. And obviously that I've never done a deal in 25 years of going canvassing the first day. It takes time, and I always share with people that don't get, you know, if there's a retailer that you want in your shopping center that you think would be great for various reasons, you've got to talk to that person or meet with that person or see that person five times. It's my rule of five. After you've talked to him, sent him something, an article, visited him in his store, until you walk in and they go, hey, Beth, you know, I still don't want Shops of Arrowhead, until you've made that connection and they know who you are and what you're about and you're not, you know, the wireless internet salesperson, until they know you and they make that connection, you're never going to do a sale. And that usually takes 3 to 5 visits. So, if you're canvassing like a Hugh Chen, 100 people a week or 200 people a week, you can't do that with all of those. But of those 200 people Hugh Chen canvasses, he's got 20 that he has his eye on, and those 20 he goes back to at least 5 times in the next 90 to 120 days, or more, depending, you know, my Nevada Bob's deal. You know, I went walking into a Nevada Bob's many years ago, and he said my lease doesn't come up for 2 years. So I went in to see him once a quarter for the first 15 months, and I ended up taking him from a 3,000 freestanding building to a 6,500 square foot inline space in an elbow of the center with a building in front of it. But it was that that repetition of going back, him understanding me, me understanding his needs, and him knowing, you know, Beth from Boynton Trail Center. Just when I walked in, he knew who I was. Until you have that level of connection, a deal won't happen. Okay. Running out of time because I'm talking too much. I'm going to jump to the back because I think there's some really important things in the back. So first, I thought, you know, I love learning new things. I had no idea. SPA, the word SPA is short for Salus, S-A-L-U-S, per aqua. I think that's Latin for good health through water. So how about that? So we all learned a new thing today. I never knew that, and I love spas. We talk about using effective words and being careful with certain words that you use. You know, if Tom Hopkins, an early sales motivator and trainer, talked about, you know, using the words we, using the words you, you know, keeping the word I. I just told my 11-year-old I is not, you know, not a letter as part of I is not part of team. He thought that was hilarious. But it talks about everyone is entitled to my opinion. You know, that's what the prospect thinks. Everyone is entitled to their opinion, and it's our job to interview them Get them talking about yourself. The more he talks about himself, the more he trusts you. You know, complimenting honestly and authentically make someone's day. Your sales will increase. It's the four-letter word that I talk about. I'm curious, you know, so what in the world would be the four-letter word in the Mayflower Madam's book, which is the number one key to productive results in sales? Work, of course. So, you know, people call me and they go, you know, what's the quickest way for us to, you know, for me to be the best leasing agent and the fastest way? And, you know, there's only one way, and it's work. You know, we've got to work. There's no easy way. You know, work is the number one four-letter word in our business. If we sit around and we wait for the phone to ring and we're not proactive and we're just reactive, we won't lease our properties to the best of our ability. Sense of humor is so important. You know, learning what their emotional hot buttons are, but using your sense of humor is so important. And you know, I gave an example of that earlier. They said you must keep yourself in the mind of your clients, prospects, and in larger organizations of all decision makers. I have a bit. When it comes to the ICSE with regards to gatekeepers and how to get through gatekeepers. So, again, come and see me there, and you will you'll see that's pretty humorous. It says create adventure, offer new experiences, clip and send articles. I know you haven't heard that from me before. Email at midnight with ideas. You know, offer to help with a grand opening or a trade show. You know, become the resource that shares the latest and the greatest. It says, this profession is not for people with thin skin. You won't like the rejection that comes with failure, and you won't like the empty pockets that come from your lack of performance. The audience grades you. If you are persuasive, they vote with their wallets. The steps of selling, closing, and follow-up reselling will be enormous. This is not a business or a profession for the weak or faint-hearted or lazy. It's summed up in a four-letter word, work. And in that same paragraph, they talk about the confused mind always says no. It says, keep in mind the prospect wants solutions. Slow down, repeat. Be friendly, don't intimidate. Keep it simple. And they say that, you know, your presentation is a performance. You know, it's supposed to be educational, it's supposed to be persuasive, and it's supposed to be entertaining. You know, but it's don't be so good that you don't want them to make them feel ignorant. You want them to look smart. This is where I believe so much in role playing. You know, role play, role play, role play. Practice, practice, practice. It says, you know, your problem solving product presented excitement and enthusiasm is persuasion, and you can practice it and learn. It says, you know, be smart. Where would you be if you had learned some of this stuff 10 years ago, you know, or in some cases 2 years ago if you're new in the business? It says, okay, so Josie's telling me I've got a few more minutes. Thank you guys. I think I have the winners of the books, which I'll bring up and I'll mention in 2 minutes. It says, understand who you are. The prospect says, I want you to understand who I am, what I want, and that I have the ability to give it to you if you ask me the right questions. So I can't go back to so much asking the right questions and being all about Curious George and authentically connecting. It says, if you let go of your own agenda, trying to close, which I lovingly say show up and throw up, you'll find yourself creating real trust and drawing the sales into you by the mere fact that you have a deep understanding of the problems that they need help with. When you're present with them, they will trust and believe you. And I think today that will be the end. I hope you guys are ready for ICSE. come listen to my speech. Also, on September 15th, I have Rookie to Rockstar at Nova. I have two people signed up. I have two openings. So if you know anyone that would like a day of classroom training in the morning and canvassing in the afternoon, come on board. The winners today of the book are Geneva Henderson,
woo,
Dana Dossette, and Darren Whalen. So congratulations to you guys. I'll see you in less than 2 weeks at ICSE. Have a great, great time getting ready for the show. Take care. Thanks for being on the call.